of our message, Behold, the Savior is Born. We've been going through quite a bit, a little bit of a different take on the traditional Advent series. And if I can get this microphone in my pocket, I'd be less distracted, but it won't go. Well, it's going to be right here. So last week we talked about how Jesus was born a humble servant, and we talked about his life and death was marked by humility and vulnerability, and he gave us a guide for our lives. Last week we talked about how he was born to die, like one of the songs we talked about today, and it really gives us a different perspective when we realize that even though we celebrate his birth this week and this time of year, you know, there was a greater purpose. It wasn't just that this great, you know, God, you know, came down on earth as a human and we learned from him and all that stuff, but there was a whole bigger plan that he had. And today we're going to pick up on continuing that story or that plan by talking about the prophetic peace that came along with Christ. One of my favorite times of Christmas is sitting around the living room with the Christmas lights on and no other lights, just the Christmas lights, and just relaxing, you know, maybe a cup of tea or something, and just or some hot cider, and just everybody's asleep, I think that might be the best part, is everybody's asleep, but, you know, everybody's asleep, it's quiet, it's, you know, it's just relaxing, and the lights do something, that, you know, that beautiful ambiance that's in that room. You know, and there is such a quiet peace there. There's time to reflect on life. There's time to reflect on Jesus. There's a time to reflect on you know, the past year and what has happened through the year. You know, as we prepare for New Year's, is right around the corner. So all of that's a beautiful time to just sit back and relax and reflect. And maybe do some prayer. You know, this peace that was promised long ago is now a reality through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. You know, there's a book written by Beth Moore called Breaking Free. It's actually an excellent book. And I would definitely recommend, if you struggle with something, especially something, you know, a little deeper, you just can't get over and you're really having a hard time, it's a great book on helping you go through that and learn through Scripture and through the Word of God. And it's a beautiful depiction of some of the most prophetic words written in the book of Isaiah. And she talks about victory and how to find ultimate peace in a relationship with God. It's a great book. And I'm going to share a particular excerpt from this book that I thought would be helpful. And she writes, "What do you suppose would happen if we paid attention to God's commands? We don't have to wonder because he told us clearly, if only you had paid attention to my commandments, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea." Let's take a look at that verse a little closer, because she refers to that in Isaiah 48 and 17 through 18. And it says, "This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the God. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should go." I mean, think about that. I am the Lord your God, and I am your teacher, and I will guide you on what you need to do. Continues on and says, "Oh, that you have listened to my commands, then you would have had the peace or had peace flowing like a gentle river, and righteousness rolling over you like waves in the sea." You know, consider the following applications and imagine peace like a river. And we're going to talk about a little bit about rivers. Rivers are so awesome. I know we have some good rivers here, but back east in where we were living for so long, there was literally everywhere you turn, you're going over a bridge. I mean, there's tons of river out in eastern Virginia. And one thing that's so beautiful about it is you can sit there and you get on a little boat, and every turn there's something different. I mean, yes, there's trees everywhere, but it's just so different. And you can go in some little bit more rapids, and then you can get calm. And especially when we used to go fishing in the morning, we just see the steam coming up off the river, and it was just so beautiful. You know, and a river is a moving stream of water. It's moving. It's constantly in motion. You know, God's words does not say that we have peace like a pond. We used to fish at a pond, a couple different ponds. But like Cecil's Pond, that was like a beautiful, in the middle of nowhere on this farmland. Nobody could get to it unless you had permission. And it was just still. It was so nice. Until we got there and the kids got loud and stomping over everything. But it was so peaceful. It was so beautiful. Gorgeous. But it was calm. And there was no river really. I mean, there was kind of little streams, you know, stuff, but it really, there was no inlet or outlet. And God's word does not say that we'll have peace like that, just this calming pond. And we might think, I'd rather forego peace than have an exciting life. I don't know about you, but I love peace, but I also love kind of some excitement. But here's the thing, the peace that comes from God is exciting. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. I would say few bodies of water are more exciting than rivers because there's so much to it. A river begins and ends in a body of water or with a body of water. Every river has an upland source, an ultimate and an ultimate outlet or mouth of the river. Every river, if you trace it, it might start in the mountains and stuff, but it flows and it always goes into something. And rivers depend on and are always connected to other bodies of water. Very interesting. Ponds don't necessarily, but rivers do. Similarly, peace like a river flows from a continuous connection with the source, which is Jesus Christ. To have peace like a river is to have security and tranquility while meeting many of the bumps and unexpected turns like a river in life. And through life's journey, a river, you know, that's why so many churches are River of Life Baptist Church or River of Life Community Church, because river is a huge reference to this walk with God and the peace that comes from God. To experience peace, we must be fed with a relationship with Jesus Christ on a regular basis. We have to be fed. Imagine a river that had no new water coming in. It would eventually dry out and turn into what? A riverbed. Rocks and nothing. I have found that nobody can retain peace in the present by relying on a relationship from the past. We need to be moving forward in this new life and this peace that comes from God. As a river is continually renewed with the moving waters of springs and streams, so our peace comes from an active, ongoing, obedient relationship with Christ. Thank God Almighty that this present life is not our destination. Thank the Lord that we're not on a pond and it's just stand still and it's just here. We're in a journey in life, and as we move through this river and float through this river, we have a destination. And in a river's term, there's an outlet, there's a mouth or a delta or something that it flows into. But in our journey of life and our river of life, it actually flows into heaven. We Christians move over rocks and sometimes cliffs through narrow places and wide valleys to a final heavenly destination. And so we can take pleasure in knowing that God inspired his word with great care and immaculate precision. So we can look at it and rely on it and go, wow, that's our future. See, he chose every word purposefully. And when he could have said we can have a river or have peace like a river in Isaiah 48, he was not drawing a loose analogy. He meant it. He meant exactly what he said in that. So what does it mean to have, or what does it take to have peace? Attention to God's commands by obedience through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we make that we accept that relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, I say a lot of that make a commitment to Jesus Christ, but you know, it really, I'm kind of wrong in how I say that in some way, because really it's God pulling on your heart. It's the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I'm real. I want a relationship with you. And the only decision we have to do, or the only activity on our part, is to say yes. That's our first initial stomp, is say, yes, I know your presence. Yes, you're here. I don't know anything about you, but I know that there's something there, and I am saying yes. I'm saying yes to what it is that you're calling on me. And that's the first step, and obedience is the next step. As we accept the gift of Jesus Christ, now he says, hey, here's some things. Now that you're part of my kingdom, now that you're mine, now you're my child, I'm going to work with you to help you grow and have a beautiful, healthy, happy, well, happy, joyful, not happy, we already went through that many times, joyful that comes deep within that can only come from God. And we want to be obedient because we love him. We're so grateful for him. So as that happens, it starts off with that spark. I call it the quickening of the spirit. It's just a stirring. It's like, I told you the story where I was a backslidden Christian, and then Jenny and I get married, and we're in a Jack in the Box drive through, and I'm like, I got to go to church. And I just looked at her. I just had this like overwhelming like anxiety attack, panic attack. I got to go to church. That's the quickening of the spirit. That's God saying, hey, dude, knucklehead, you've been away from me long enough. You're time to come back now that you're married. Because I have a plan for you. I got some things for you. And that's the obedience part. When you're his, we're going to follow our Heavenly Father. And it doesn't mean when we fail and we don't obey that we're you know, in the doghouse or something. No, he's like, hey, you know what? I need to discipline you a little bit. I need to bring you back so you can learn. But ultimately, he's like the perfect father that disciplines when he needs to discipline and encourages when he needs to encourage and corrects when he needs to correct. I mean, I don't know about you, but as a dad, there's been, and don't respond to this, boys, but there's been times I've punished when maybe they didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, maybe. Say no. Yeah. There's been times where I was wrong in my punishment. So that happens. I was wrong. But we have a perfect Heavenly Father that's never wrong. So when he says, no, 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 and we get corrected, it's through that we have that peace because he drives us toward the direction he wants us to go. He is guiding us through that river. He's like, look, there's a rock over there. You don't want to go down there. Or, hey, maybe there's a fork in the road. You take the left, not the right, because the right's going to take you off a cliff. But go left. And he's guiding us through these rivers of life. Obedience to God's authority not only brings peace like a river, but righteousness like the waves of the sea. See, it's not righteous perfection, but righteous consistency. We're consistently growing more and more closer to him. Peace is something that I think we all desire. Anybody not desire peace? Because it'll help me out because I'll know, you know, who the rebel rousers are around here. But peace is something I think we all desire, and it's something that God has promised to us. Peace is like that river of active, moving peace. There's going to be times where it's going to get a little rocky and it's going to get a little rough, but he's going to give us that peace. And we might go through that, whoa, hold on to the raft, but then right after that, there's a calmness. It is not still or stagnant, but dynamic and powerful in our lives. Christmas is a time to remind us of that arrival, that the arrival of Jesus brings us into a deeper, abiding peace. Let's read the passage from Isaiah together. It's written from by the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And he was talking to the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel, who was losing their way and in need of hope and peace. And let's take a look at this. Isaiah 9. And we find this prophetic promise that predicts the birth of a child. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. And what is that? Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. This child that Isaiah tells us, his readers about, is described in terms that inspire awe and reverence. A child is born, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Those are descriptors. You know, and you've heard me say before, people say that God works in mysterious ways. He really doesn't, because of this. Bless you. When we see words or descriptions like Wonderful Counselor, that tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us a little bit about character. If I said, you know what, Laurel has a beautiful voice, that tells something about you, about her. It's like, oh, she sings. She can hold a tune. She can count notes or bars. I don't know. I'm not a musician, but whatever it's called. It tells us something. You know, if I said she not only has a beautiful voice, but she also is a passion for worship, that tells us something, communicates something about her. So when we read this, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, it communicates character about God and who he is. And he is the Prince of Peace. So you want peace in your life, we go to him and we say, hey, Lord, I'm struggling. I'm like wound up like a top and I need help. And he's that Prince of Peace and he will help you guide through that. Sometimes it's an instant supernatural peace that he just gives you right in that moment. Sometimes he helps you with puts you in different circumstances for you to go through it, bring certain people in your lives. Inspires you to maybe make a phone call to a friend that will say something that you needed to hear in that moment. See, this passage of scripture often shared during Christmas time each year, and within these festive verses, we uncover this profound significance of the Prince of Peace. See, peace is promised. It's not this, you know, like, well, maybe, maybe not. It's a promise. And when God promises something, has anybody here ever broken a promise? I mean, let's be realistic. I'll be over at 5 and 7:30 comes around. You're like, oh, man, I'm late. We break promises all the time. I hate that. I mean, it's terrible. I wish we didn't. But the reality is life gets in the way. But when God makes a promise, he follows through with it 100% of the time, every single time. And peace is a timeless concept. It's something that humanity has always desired through history. It's a respite from the storms and the conflict and the chaos and the discord of life. And from ancient times all the way up until the modern day, people have longed for a sense of calm and a desire to break away from the chaos in the world. And we have books and tons of books and meditation retreats or spas. Oh, wait, what about the spas? You know, those are a time to get to have a removal from the chaos in the world. In my line of work, in social work and stuff, we always talk about self-care. You gotta have some self-care because we're always dealing with other people's problems. Sometimes we need to break away from the chaos and go walk around the building or go to lunch with a coworker just to get it removed and calm down. And it's a good trait. I think we all have that desire when we're in chaotic spaces or chaotic parts of our lives, we need to break away. But the peace promised in Isaiah 9 is not an ordinary peace. It's a peace that transcends human understanding. It's something that goes so much further. It's a peace that can only come from the Prince of Peace. You know, this phrase, peace that surpasses all understanding, is shared and spoken over people in times of hardship. peace that surpasses all understanding is simply the peace our hearts feel when we are in a relationship with Christ. It's the surpasses all understanding means that it has to come from an external source, because there's no way, no logical sense, it should be peace in that moment. And what better way to, or a better time to celebrate that peace than during the holidays as we journey toward Christmas morning and all the baking that needs to go on and all the gift shopping and family coming over. It's chaotic. See, the Prince of Peace was prophesied about hundreds of years prior to the birth of Christ. If I remember correctly, it's around 500 BC. No, 400 BC. Something like around there. Jesus was born in 5 BC. I know everybody thinks it was at zero, but it wasn't. It was 5 BC. He died in 28 AD. And there was a 400-year intertestament period, no prophets or anything, and Isaiah was one of the last prophets to write. And so that's how we know, roughly 400 or 500 years ago, or before Christ. And it was prophesied that this Prince of Peace would come, and it happened. See, Christmas time is the time to celebrate that Jesus has, in fact, arrived. It was a prophecy fulfilled. And he's brought with him this promise of peace, this gift. Not only is Jesus a gift to the world because of his life, death, and resurrection, and that is an amazing gift. That's like the best gift. That's like the greatest gift that we could ever receive. But he also brought a whole bunch of stocking stuffers. He brought all kinds of stuff, like have peace and love and guidance and wisdom. And that promise, the promise in that in spite of everything going on around us, we can access divine peace through Christ. In the Gospel of John, we see Jesus speak about his role that was given to him by God. John 14:27, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift to the world, a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. That's a great gift, don't you think? Amen. It's an amazing gift. Jesus distinguishes his peace from the fleeting peace offered by the world, an ultimate peace. It's a peace grounded in eternal truths in the presence of the Savior. There's a difference between God's peace and the peace the world offers. There's a clear difference. Now, we talk about self-care and like a spa day and all that, and that's all. I definitely recommend them. They're great. I'm not going to go to a spa day, but the rest of it, I would. I mean, a fishing day, that's my spa day. But it's very different than the deep peace that comes from relationship with Jesus Christ and the peace that he gives. Because I can go fishing, and that could be my self-care time and my relaxing time, but I'm still fixing fishing lines with, you know, or stuck lures, which I've done thousands of times. It still can be not as peaceful as it is when I'm with Christ. That's the peace that surpasses all understanding. This is an important distinction because it is what we celebrate during Christmas. From our one form of peace will leave us wanting, and the other will leave us in deep fulfillment. So let's take a look. Let's compare God's peace versus the world's peace. Imagine standing on this ship. This is a military ship. I've been in storms like that in the Navy, and I never got seasick until I was in that storm, a storm like that. It was terrible. Actually, he was up toward the bridge, and I had to put a belt buckle on, a seatbelt, because we were pitch and roll so much. It's wild. That's a storm. That is, imagine being on that ship, seeing that. This is probably from the bridge. Yeah, it is the bridge, because there's windshield wipers. So you're witnessing this. You think maybe you're a little nervous, a little fearful? And then you're getting seasick? I mean, that's what life can be like at times. Imagine standing on this ship in this stormy sea, waves crashing against the hull, and the waves are choppy. The sea is a metaphor for the world we live in. A realm of consistent motion, uncertainty, and chaos. To take this analogy a little further, worldly peace is like a small boat built with human hands, like this little guy. It's a beautiful boat. I looked it up. It's a Chris Craft. Beautiful. That's why I chose it. I was like, that's one of my favorite boats. I'm like, Chris Craft, wooden. Beautiful. See, this is a small boat built by human hands, and it's meticulously designed with polished wood and some paint and some ornate decorations. And look at the trim on that. I mean, it's good looking. And this boat represents the various avenues society offers us to find peace. And that looks pretty peaceful. That would be fun. And these might include, you know, this peace that the world offers might include material wealth, societal standards, status, or temporary pleasures. They're alluring, promising moments of respite from stormy seas. That's very different than the ship we just looked at. And as we embark on this vessel, it provides a semblance of peace. I mean, cruising around a river or something in that? Heck yeah. And something about that is also has a Chevy V6 in it, too. It's pretty cool. And it shields us from some of the waves there, the small waves, other boats going by, and it can roll with it. And there's this kind of this false sense of security right there. And we feel secure and feel in control, and it feels good. And I have this beautiful boat, and it's great. It's got a V6 in it, so if I need to get out of the way, it's going. I mean, that's great. And then we might even believe that we have found the answer to this chaotic life. However, the worldly peace is fragile and fleeting. When the storm comes and grows fiercer, that same boat begins to sway, creak and crack under the pressure. If that boat went out to, I'm assuming this looks kind of like a river, so that boat goes out to the delta and goes into the ocean a little bit further, even a mile or two off the coast, and a storm hits, that thing is going under. And it might give you that false security. It's like, oh, this is a great boat. I love that boat. But sometimes the chaos in life, it wouldn't hold up. These beautiful features start to fade, revealing its weakness. We realize that its capacity to provide lasting peace is limited, unable to withstand the full force of all life has to offer. In this life, we often try to seek solace and tranquility to find peace amongst life's storms. But in stark contrast, imagine this is you're a lighthouse standing in the midst of these crashing waves. See, this is God's peace. It's sturdy and solid, but not as flashy and beautiful as that last boat. I mean, if you've been to lighthouses, they're not all that pretty, and they have that musty smell from the algae and stale water. It's sturdy and solid. Its foundation is unshakable. It's rooted in a solid rock of God's unchanging nature. The light shining from the lighthouse pierces the darkness, offering guidance and assurance to all who seek it. This lighthouse symbolizes a peace that transcends understanding, a peace that is not dependent on external circumstances. It is a peace that flows from a deep and abiding relationship with the Prince of Peace. I've never been in a lighthouse with waves that big or a situation like that. I've been to lighthouses, but nothing like that. But I was just imagining what it would be like being there. And my first instinct would be like, oh no, right? That would probably be my first instinct. But after a couple minutes, you're like, oh, I feel pretty secure here. And knowing me, I'd probably venture up to the top and go, oh, this is awesome. Eventually, after a couple hours. Next time I'll do a longer video to give you that answer, Laurel. The boat may offer temporary escape, but ultimately leaves us vulnerable and adrift. On the other hand, God's peace provides us sanctuary of calm amidst the life storms, anchoring us to an unchanging love and sovereignty. In the end, we are invited to exchange this fragile vessel, even though it was beautiful, this beautiful Chris Craft boat. I mean, that was gorgeous. But trade that for this amazing lighthouse. And exchange it for God's peace. It is a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that sustains us through the fiercest storms and trials, and peace that leads us safely to the shores of a relationship with God of the universe, who is in total control. With that in mind, we may choose to anchor our lives in an unshakable lighthouse of God and his peace, trusting that he will guide us safely through these storms and the seas of life. There is a bit more in John 14 that I want to look at. Let's reread verse 27 again. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. Did you know that do not be afraid? That part right there, and this is the New Living Translation, but typically it's do not fear or do not be afraid. It's translated very similarly. Did you know that occurs 365 times in the Bible? One for each day. Don't be afraid every day. I think it's interesting. By saying do not be afraid, Jesus is inviting us to trust in him and enter into an abundant life marked by divine peace. The other day, we had a Christmas party at work, and we were just talking, and she just, in our conversation, she goes, Chris, I got a question for you. I'm like, what's that? And she goes, how do you do all the things you do? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you work, you pastor a church, Love Inc. Now, family, kids. I am starting, looking at grad school. I was taking some classes off and on a little while ago, but I'm starting grad school again to continue. Lifelong learner. How do you do it? And my first thing out of my mind, my thought was time management. Because, I'm at work, and that was the first thing that came to mind. But after that, I started thinking about it. It's been stuck in my head about for a couple days now. This was Thursday. So it's been kind of replaying in my head. And I actually want to go to her and go, correction, time management isn't it. And I probably will when I see her next. But you know what it is? God, Jesus Christ, 100%. There's no way I can accomplish any of the goals I have without Jesus Christ. And you know what else is part of that? My beautiful wife that God gave me when I didn't deserve one. It's a combination of God working in my life and giving me peace and giving me the ability to have an amazing wife, amazing kids, and this life, this peaceful life, I'm able to do the things that God wants me to do, all from him. Not me, not because I'm really good at time management. No, it all comes from him. 100%. And the same thing's true for y'all. No matter what God is calling on your heart, there's a peace that comes with it. And when he calls you, He will provide everything you need to be able to accomplish whatever it is he's calling you to do, no matter what. Whether it's getting involved in an outreach program or just going over and baking bread for a neighbor who might need to hear a kind word. It doesn't matter. It's not about a competition of how much work people are doing. It's about serving the Lord 100% with your heart, and he will give you that peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's such a beautiful thing. Living in peace. How can we live in peace? In peace with others, in peace with ourselves, and peace with our relationship with God. Let's explore how we can live in peace and draw some wisdom from the scriptures. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4. There are two most vulnerable parts of who we are. Let's read this. It says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." So there's a couple things we want to point out. So here's this peace that he's promising, this prophetic peace. He is here. He is born. He came. He died. He resurrected. The promises have been fulfilled, and he's continuing to fulfill that in our lives. And his peace will guard our hearts and our minds when we live in Christ. The first thing we can do is recognize the source of our peace. This is important. The source of our peace is Christ, not what I do or how much I do or what I accomplish. The peace comes directly from him when we are in Christ. So what does it mean to be in Christ? To be not only saved, but walking with him. Because as Christians, we can pull away. I was a backslidden Christian for 6 years or something. And it was when he called me back to him, when I had that moment, that powerful moment in my life, that was a turning point. I needed that in my life, and I've dedicated my life to Christ ever since then. Was there times where I back away from him and mad at him or whatever? Yeah. But being in Christ is continually that process, that river of life, and going through those bumps. And sometimes our bumps are having a disconnect from him a little bit. He hasn't left me, but I've left him a little bit because of my own stubbornness or my own issues. But when we're in Christ, we are walking with him. We are walking in his word. We're not only doing it by behavior-wise, but also we're reflecting on him and praying and listening to him. And when we do that, he gives us this peace. He says, "I got you. It'll be okay." And it'll be good or bad. And we can go through troubles and go, "God, I need your help," and walk through, walk with him. But there's also times where life is wonderful and you're like, "God, I don't know how to handle this joy. I'm kind of going a little bonkers because I'm not used to how this huge blessing you've brought. I'm in disbelief." But he'll still give me that peace that surpasses all understanding. He'll be like, I'm blessing you. It'll be okay. Calm down. This is a great gift. You're going to love it. It's going to be okay." See, it's peace that does not make sense in our normal way of doing things. I want to read that note again. It is a peace that does not make sense in our normal way of doing things. It guards our hearts and our minds. Back in Isaiah 9, we are reminded that Jesus is the giver of peace. And to live in peace, we must recognize the ultimate peace originates from him. From him alone. Look at this verse again. When you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, his peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, God's peace has nothing to do with us or our worldly possessions or achievements, but everything to do with our relationship with him. Everything. Especially when things are tough and chaotic, it is helpful to have strategies to calm yourself down, calm your inner world, and to find divine peace offered in Christ. There are things that we do It's my day job. There's coping skills I can teach you. But as you utilize those, it's really go down to going to Christ in all of those moments and saying, okay, I need to take a walk, and then you go to Christ. I need to take a time out. I'm going to go to Christ. I need to have a spa day. I'm going to go to Christ. I'm going to go work in this shed and whittle some wood so I can relax. I'm going to go to Christ. It's all about that relationship with Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace and he will provide that for our lives no matter what's going on. I want to share this story, and this was written by a social work student in, I can't remember the college now. It was a Christian college in Wisconsin, okay? And so I'm imagining, you know, like a young lady wrote this, but it's very insightful for this this point here. I'm going to have it on the screen so you can also read along. As I was walking along the beach the other morning at sunrise, I was following behind two individuals who were picking up shells. They were, of course, picking up all the big, beautiful shells void of blemishes. Struck by a creative vision to create a mosaic, I began to pick up the smaller, broken shards of shells. When I picked up each broken piece, I would rinse it in the water and run my finger along the jagged edges. Each piece had its own unique beauty, from flat pieces to curved pieces to everything in between. As I examined these broken pieces, I started reflecting upon the brokenness in my own life. If you and I are being completely honest, we probably don't have to look too far to find some pretty jagged edges in our lives. The trials we have endured and times when things just didn't quite end up how we had planned leave behind marks that are far from smooth and even. While painful at the time, each of these experiences shape who we are as individuals. If we look a little deeper, aren't these jagged edges where our beauty lies? Caught up in the creative endeavor to collect broken shells and wrapped up in thoughts of brokenness, I almost missed the sunrise occurring right over my left shoulder. When I finally looked up from the sandy shore, I was almost blinded. The sun had been just barely peeking out from behind the clouds moments before, was now shining brightly on the horizon, illuminating the entire sky with golden hues. Beautiful writing. And this is the part that really struck me. Still in my state of reflection, I wondered to myself how often we get caught up in our struggles and grief that we miss out on the beauty and light all around us. That was such a great article. And she continued on with some other stuff. But that was so good. So insightful. But it's so true. So many times we get caught up into something and there's reflections in our own head and we miss the beauty that's around us. And you know what that beauty is? A relationship with Jesus Christ and spending time with him. And spending time with people that we love. Jeremiah 29:13-15 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where you were sent, where I sent you, and will bring you home again to your own land. You claim that the Lord has raised up prophets for you in Babylon. Oh God, you are my God." Oh, I'm sorry, I'm moving on to Psalm. "Oh God, you are my God, I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadows of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely, but those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down into the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become the food of jackals. Such a beautiful psalm of appreciation and remembrance of where our peace comes from. So as we close out today, living in peace, as outlined in our verses today, is a transformative journey. It involves recognizing Jesus as a source of peace, embracing our inner tranquility and trusting in God's sovereignty, practicing forgiveness, pursuing holistic well-being, mind, body, and spirit, choosing contentment and prioritizing prayer and meditation. I know that's a lot of things to think about, but I know that many of you probably have some Christmas shopping left to do. But against all odds, I trust that you will apply these principles in your life and remember that God is the source of your peace. So as you continue out your journey of life and the river of life, remember that he is that source. He is that everlasting spring that's flowing and guiding you through life. Let's be intentional about slowing down to savor the moments that we have with God. And let's savor those moments to share that same peace and that love with the people around us. Not only our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also those that don't know who Jesus is. Because you are that lighthouse. And no matter what storms are around us, you are that light shining in the darkness. Saying, hey, look, there's something so much better. This chaos you're in, I know a guy who can help you through that. All that nonsense that you're facing and all that drama in your family, your friends, or work, or even your own things that you're struggling with, personal stuff, I know a guy that has the answers. He can solve your problems. He can help you through them. He will give you wisdom and peace through them to help you. And at this time of year, a lot of people struggle. This is the highest time of year for suicide. And people are lonely at this time of year more than any other. We have the overcast. We have people that don't have any family or friends. They're lonely. But we have the Prince of Peace. So as we go through our Christmas time and the remaining of the year and hopefully all of 2025 too and 26, hopefully it becomes something that's daily for you. But as we continue and reflect on the birth of Christ in this time of year, be intentional about and savor those moments with God and encourage others. Don't be rushed through the holidays. Take a step back and enjoy it. And in these moments, we can truly enjoy the greatest gift of all, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our time together. Thank you for Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And so many times we don't have peace and we're in this chaotic world and it's frustrating, especially dealing with people. People are so frustrating at times, Lord. And the only way we can get any kind of sense of peace is directly from you. And it might not even make sense in the moment, but we know that you have made this promise and you'll provide us this peace. So I ask you to give us all this peace, the peace that we need, that surpasses all understanding. Give us a calmness. And let us know it's from you, Lord. Because we can be kind of funny about that, Lord. We don't understand sometimes when it's from you or something we've done. The worldly peace versus the godly peace. So Father God and Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us have a peaceful holiday and embrace this celebration of the birth of Christ. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.